Your Bibles, please, to our second reading, Nahum chapter 2. Nahum chapter 2, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. He that dasheth in pieces is come up before thy face. Keep the munition, watch the way, make thy loins strong, fortify thy power mightily. For the Lord hath turned away the excellency of Jacob as the excellency of Israel, for the emptiers have emptied them out and marred their vine branches. The shield of his mighty men are made red. The valiant men are in scarlet. The chariots shall be with flaming torches in the day of his preparation, and the fir trees shall be terribly shaken. The chariots shall rage in the streets. They shall jostle one against another in the broad ways. They shall seem like torches. They shall run like the lightnings. He shall recount his worthies. They shall stumble in their walk. They shall make haste to the wall thereof, and the defense shall be prepared. The gates of the rivers shall be opened, and the palace shall be dissolved. And Huzzab shall be led away captive. She shall be brought up, and her maids shall lead her as with the voice of doves, tabering upon their breasts. But Nineveh is of old like a pool of water, yet shall they flee away. Stand, stand, shall they cry, but none shall look back. Take ye the spoil of silver, take the spoil of gold, for there is none end of the store and of the glory out of all the pleasant furniture. She is empty and void and waste, and the heart melteth, and the knees smite together, and much pain is in all loins, and the faces of them all gather blackness. Where is the dwelling of the lions and the feeding place of the young lions? Where the lion, even the old lion, walked and the lion's whelp, and none made them afraid? The lion did tear in pieces enough for his whelps and strangled for his lionesses. And filled his holes with prey, and his dens with ravin. Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will burn her chariots in the smoke, and the sword shall devour thy young lions, and I will cut off thy prey from the earth, and the voice of thy messengers shall no more be heard. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Interestingly, in the midst of this chapter on Nahum, or called Nahum, on Nineveh and the destruction of Nineveh, that's what Nahum is about, the Lord will lift up his gaze from Nineveh for a moment and will say to his people, the Lord hath turned away the excellency of Jacob as the excellency of Israel. Why would he do that? What is happening here? How does the history read? Why would the Lord, in the midst of talking about the bringing down of the Assyrians, say, Jacob is also destroyed? Well, because that's exactly what happened. What was the nation that rose up against Assyria and conquered it? It was nothing other than the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar. And yet, was Assyria the only nation Nebuchadnezzar conquered? Read the book of Jeremiah and you'll find out. Nebuchadnezzar came from the river Euphrates over here up to the north around that around the Jordan Valley, and then from the Jordan Valley came south and spread all the way to the Mediterranean Sea, out into the islands of Cyprus, Crete, and then even up into the Ashkenazi area, all the way down into the south, around the horn of the Mediterranean Sea and into Egypt. How far did Nebuchadnezzar go? I mean, it really is extraordinary to recognize that. And so the Lord turns to his people Israel, and he says, The Lord hath turned away the excellency of Jacob as the excellency of Israel. And what is the point, beloved? The Lord doesn't care for nations in that way that he cares about his church. You think the things that are befalling America today are befalling America because God loves America? Or the United States? When you think of America, it's much bigger than... No, that's not the point. God deals with his church. And so in the midst of this destruction of Assyria, that is a wicked nation, which was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 10, they were raised up and fierce because of Israel, because of God's people, then the Lord will destroy them, and in destroying them at the same time, he will pay Nebuchadnezzar good wages to go all the way to Egypt. And why will he pay Nebuchadnezzar good wages to go all the way to Egypt? Because some of his rebellious sons, the Lord's rebellious sons, have gone to Egypt, and he will get them from there. Because God cares about the church. That's the nation he cares about. That's the nation he's working with on the face of the earth. Okay? Since the days of Israel and her falling out as a body politic, and I mean falling out as a body politic, the folks that are over there now are not God's Israel. Okay? Since Israel fell out as a body politic, since her kingdom came to an end in 70 AD, the Lord has never dealt with a political nation again in that way. That nation is the church. And a passage like this makes that patently clear. God's not concerned with Assyria. He raises up Babylon because the excellency of Jacob is departed, and the Lord will slay them and carry them away captive. In the meantime, he will punish wicked nations as he goes, and that's his prerogative. But graciously, redemptively, he's dealing with his people. Graciously and redemptively, the Lord is dealing with his people. This is why it is so very necessary for political entities like nations themselves to acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ and have an established church in their midst that honors him, that they, the leaders, kiss the Son as well as the populace. Because then when the Lord is pursuing grace with his church, it will prosper the nation, right? Blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. But that only incidentally, and not by way of first blush. The Lord's dealing with his church. So even in these old days, we see it that way. That Nebuchadnezzar rose up as God's foil, not only to destroy Assyria, but to punish his people and to carry them away captive. The Ninevites then will mount their defense. It will not avail. In terms of prophetic foresight, Nahum gives some details about the destruction of Nineveh. They shall prepare their defense, but they shall stumble. They shall mount upon the wall, but they shall come down. Note that it will be like a flood. The gates of the river shall be opened. And so it's not a literal flood, but, you know, Assyria, Babylon, especially Babylon, because they were situated on the river Euphrates, they were sometimes thought of like as the Euphrates would overflow its bounds and flood, that here comes Babylon like the river Euphrates, right? It'll be like a flood. Nineveh was like a pool of water at one time, a refreshing store of pleasant things, but her reputation will now be that she is a place from which the wise man will flee. And there will the command and the encouragement be to stay the course, abide and defend her, but it will not avail. They shall flee and not look back. And so then, in that first section, verses 1 through 10, the Lord turns to the destroyer and he says, take up the spoil. Silver, gold, take it all. Even though it seemed like there was no end to the riches of the kingdom of Assyria, Babylon's going to lick it up, every bit of it. Note that these things make for a poor defense, the gold and the silver. They will not avail in that day. She is left empty, void, and waste. Her gods were vain, and so she will be as well. And the Ninevites are left in fear without protection. Then there's a taunt in verses 11 and 12 where the Lord says, where is the dwelling of lions and the feeding place of the young lions where the lion, even the old lion, walked and the lions whelp and none made them afraid? And there's some division among commentators as to exactly what all of that means in its detail, but in its broad strokes, it's pretty clear. Assyria was like a lion in the ancient Near East. A ravenous beast, fierce, feared all over the world while she was in power. And the old lion, perhaps Sennacherib, the biggest and baddest of her kings in her history. And so they went across the land like a lion. They ripped, they tore, they strangled, they provided for themselves. They brought all of the riches of the world back to Nineveh. They had the richest and largest library in the ancient Near East. But the Lord says what? Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts. I will burn her chariots in the smoke, and the sword shall devour thy young lions, and I will cut off thy prey from the earth. The voice of thy messengers shall no more be heard. So the Lord will indeed destroy Assyria, as he has said. And he did so, why? Do we remember from Isaiah chapter 10? Because of the fierceness with which they attacked his people in the northern kingdom, although that was directed by God. The sin proceeded from the creature, right? Okay. With that then, let's stand and continue.